G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, have a look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Hallelujah. Amen. I hear those always. That's great. It says, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And it is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And Lord, we just believe as we put our focus on your word that your spirit will open the eyes of our understanding, that we can see your plans and purposes, and particularly what you want to draw our attention to this day. And we believe we receive this in Jesus' name. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We started last week and we started talking about what's so amazing about grace. And I want to spend a little bit more time just exploring that. What is so amazing about grace? In this particular scripture, it says, if by one man's offense death reigns through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So if we can learn what it means to receive abundance of grace, and if we can learn what it means to receive the gift of righteousness, and we receive those things, this scripture says the outcome of that is being able to reign in life. God wants us to reign in life. In fact, the Amplified Bible, it says those who receive God's overflowing grace, his unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, will reign as kings in life. He doesn't want you to just do well. He wants you to do extraordinarily well. You know, there's a difference between royalty and those who are not royalty. You know, there's a difference. Royalty, you know, are treated in a different way. They're esteemed and they're valued. I know we live in a society that royalty is just kind of seen as figureheads, but this is written in a time where that was not the case. Royalty were people that were treated with the utmost respect because they actually had a lot of clout and they could make life very difficult for you if they chose to. And the scripture says, when you receive that abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will reign like kings. God wants you and I to reign as kings. And I know I sort of talked about some of this, and I want to recap some things and then go on. And the reason I'm doing that is because I want you to expand your vision. I want you to begin to see yourself. You know, I love some of those words that we got early this morning. Some of those were for me and very personal things that God was speaking to me. So it was very, very encouraging. He wants you to do well in your marriage and in your family. He wants your kids to stand out for all of the right reasons. He wants you to do well in your workplace. He wants you to do well in terms of your personal health, that you're not struggling from week to week or from day to day, that you gain victory and you gain breakthrough. He wants you to do well, not just barely getting by, like, man, I thought that was going to take me out, you know. He wants you to get better and better and stronger and healthier and live a full life. And when you're satisfied, he wants you to go home. Not because your body can't handle it anymore, but just because you're ready to go home. That's God's desire for you and I. Hallelujah. He wants you to do well in your friendships. He wants you to do well in your finances. You know, it's a lot of fun. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I agree with that. I'm having so much fun. I have so much joy because I have opportunities to give, and I'm in a place that I'm in my life when I'm speaking about finances that I've never ever been. And every year it gets better and better and better. The way I measure how better I am, it's not by what sort of car I drive, although I'm blessed with a nice car, and it's not measured by the sort of house that I live in, although I live in a beautiful house, the best house I've ever lived in, right? I don't measure my prosperity by any of those things. I measure it by what the Bible says. It says, when you're prosperous, he makes his grace abound in you, that you have all sufficiency for all things and an abundance for every good work. I measure my prosperity by my ability to give. And so I'm believing God every year to give more, to break the barriers. And I have been. Man, I've given a lot this year. And it's really thrilled me. I've done some things that I've dreamed of doing that I'd never had opportunity to do. And it's wonderful. He wants us to reign. That's the point I'm trying to make. Financially. He wants us to do well. He wants us to reign as kings in all of these things. You know, and the key to being able to reign is to receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And so we've been looking at what is so amazing about grace. What is this grace that we need to receive? And I want to spend a little bit more time. Is that all right? Just really kind of wrapping our minds around it. And then this gift of, you know, a lot of this stuff is effortless living, right? God's desire is for you and I just to grow in these things, and the problems that seem so big and insurmountable and unchangeable in our lives just seem to melt away. Just like the psalm says, the mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. That's God's desire for you and I. But there is a growing, you know, and there are giants that you and I will face, and they will look intimidating, right? And that's where we've got to keep our eyes on the promises of God. But I want to just kind of explore some of this stuff so we can just really get a handle on it. Yeah, we looked last week at how God's grace is, it's his unearned and undeserved favor. And for a lot of us, we've heard that for a long time. And so I want you to be, you know, like pay double attention to some of this stuff, so that you can have your expectancy out there, so it's like the Spirit of God can give you revelation, hey? Because sometimes when we've heard something a lot, like, oh yeah, God loves me, yippee, you know, like, and we can get kind of flippant and stuff, but do you realize when we're talking about the love of God, that is the underlying ground and reason for why God does anything. You're not going to heaven because Jesus died on the cross, when we're talking about the underlying ground or reason. Jesus died on the cross, which opened up the way for us to go to heaven, but that was the means, but the underlying reason was God's love for you and I, which was totally undeserved. If we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. And so God's grace is his unearned and undeserved favor. And it makes every blessing of God available to us, whether it's a spiritual blessing, an emotional blessing, a physical blessing, a financial blessing, a social blessing, whatever it is. Every blessing of God comes because of his grace, unearned, undeserved. God's grace, and we looked at some of this last week, God's grace makes the blessing of forgiveness available to us, that we can experience forgiveness of sin. But not just that, we can experience freedom from sin. You know, it's wonderful that, you know, like I remember when I got a revelation that God had forgiven me, that was wonderful. And I thought, that's great. But what about tomorrow? Well, I'm forgiven today, but tomorrow I'm going to stuff up. You know, and what about next week? And what about next month? What about next year? You know, like right now the slate's clean, but man, I've got a habit of dirtying up that whiteboard real quick. And his grace not only provides forgiveness of sin, but it provides freedom from sin. Hey, and its power. God's grace provides healing. God's grace provides deliverance. It provides citizenship in heaven. It provides protection and promotion. It provides provision and peace and confidence. There are so many things that it provides. We looked at a lot of that last week, eh? So it's just kind of recapping. And I want to go a little bit further today and just kind of just meditate and park about this grace, just to think about, why is this grace so amazing? What is so amazing about this grace? You know, there's another aspect of grace that I had a real revelation, probably about 23 years ago, I had a revelation about this, and it changed my life. God's grace is His favor, and it's His unearned blessing, but it is also His enabling power. It's His power that empowers you. That's what I mean by enabling. It enables you to do what you couldn't do. And in fact, there are some scriptures where it talks about the grace of God, that if you do not think about the enabling power of God, you won't understand what it means. For example, when Paul says to Timothy, "But you, my son, you be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, what does that mean? Be strong in the grace of our... But see, if you understand that grace means the enabling power of God, and we replace that with that phrase, "But you, my son, you be strong in the enabling power of God." And it opens it up. He's not telling Timothy, be strong in yourself. Just manage whatever you can do and see if you can get by, and hopefully you'll make it. He's saying, you be strong in the enabling power of God. I want to share with you a couple of scriptures, even the scripture that you've got. Are you still there at Romans 5? Verse 17. It says, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the way. I want us to replace that word grace with the enabling power of God. And look how much sense it makes. It says, much more those who receive abundance of the enabling power of God will reign in life. Doesn't that make sense? It just opens it up. Of course, if you're going to receive an abundance of the enabling power of God, you're going to reign in life. In verse 20 there, of chapter 5, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Again, if let's replace that word grace with the enabling power of God. It says, where sin abounded, the enabling power of God abounded even more. We're thinking like, God, I blew it. You must be so mad at me. And He's saying, no, where sin abounds, my power abounds more. Yield, receive that abundance of my enabling power, and you will reign. You can write these down. We're not going to turn to them, but if you're a note taker, you can write down Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's another scripture that makes no sense unless you replace it with the enabling power of God. So it's saying, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for building up, that it may impart the enabling power of God to the hearers. There are things that you and I can do just with our words that can impart the enabling power of God. When you go to someone who's struggling and just say, you know, you're going to get through this, what are you doing? You're imparting grace to the hearer. You're imparting that enabling power. When you come alongside of someone and say, don't you give up. We're walking through this together. I'm with you. I'm walking with you. What are you doing? You're imparting grace. You're imparting the enabling power of God to that person. Hebrews 4:15-16 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Replace that with the enabling power of God. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of the enabling power of God, that we may obtain mercy and the enabling power of God to help in time of need. When you got your back to the wall and you're just thinking like, man, I don't know if I can handle any more of this, God, and you're coming into that throne of the enabling power of God, he's not going to kick you in the teeth and say, get out. He's going to impart enabling power, his enabling power to you. It says, let us come boldly to that throne that we may receive and find grace, find the enabling power of God to help. Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under what? Grace. You are not under law. Do you know why sin doesn't have dominion over you? Because you're not under law, you're under the enabling power of God. That's why sin doesn't have dominion over you. Oh, you have a pastor, Les, you don't understand. I'm blowing it every day. Yeah, but you don't understand that the truth, that the fact may be that you're blowing it every day, but the truth is, you're not under law, you're under the enabling power of God. Yeah, but Pastor Les, you don't understand. The doctors have said that I've got this condition and it's never going to be reversed and it's been getting worse and worse. No, you're just looking at the facts. Stop looking at the facts. Look at the truth that you are no longer under law. You're under the enabling power of God. Yeah, but what about all these areas that I keep stuffing up in, Pastor Les? What about the times that I get so selfish and nasty? What about the times that I get moody? What about the times that I get arrogant and ignore people around me? What about my bad habits? What do I do with all of these? You don't need to do anything about them. Just walk with God and trust Him that He's helping you. You didn't decide to save yourself. You couldn't do it. That was his idea. Is that right? You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't even call on his name until he revealed himself to you. And the scripture says, he who started the good work in you will complete it. So instead of looking at all the problems in your life, yeah, but what about my finances? Or what about my health? Or what about my friends? And what about these habits that I've got? And how can I change it? Instead of looking at those, put your trust in Him and you will find mercy and the enabling power of God to help in your time of need. He started the work, let Him finish it. That's why Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Is that right? Titus 2:11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness. You can't fix yourself. Let the grace, let the enabling power of God teach you to deny ungodliness. That's what it's there for. Hallelujah. You don't have to spend time in prayer or reading the word to qualify for healing, for prosperity, for peace, for protection, even for direction. You don't have to spend time in prayer or share your faith to qualify for any of God's blessings. They come freely by grace. His unearned, undeserved favor, His enabling power, it brings it to us, and it's not of works. Hallelujah. You know, in Romans 5 verse 17, where we started, it says, much more those who receive abundance of grace. You know, we've got to receive it. Hey, we talked a little bit about this last week, but I want to sort of just meditate on it a little bit more, just so we can marinate in it. We can renew our minds. We've got to receive God's grace. We can't achieve God's grace. And we often fall into this, you know, like this legalism. I spent a few days at Currents Bible College, a couple of days I should say, this week. There was a guest speaker from the USA, South African born man, who's got great, tremendous revelation about the grace of God and the mercy of God. And it was wonderful. It was so wonderful. But you know what became so obvious? I was even talking to Anthony about it during the week. You know, it just reveals how much legalism just kind of seeps into our life. And we get on a performance treadmill in different areas thinking we've got to earn God's blessing. We've got to earn that answer to prayer. I've got to say my confessions, otherwise I can't get my healing. I've got to give the tithe, otherwise I can't prosper. I've got to do all of these things, otherwise God's going to be angry. He's going to be annoyed, or at least, at the very least, cranky with me. And so this stuff seeps in, and that's why it's really important that we kind of look at this from time to time. Well, actually, I've really had it on my heart that we're going to be frequently visiting this, just so we can free ourselves of legalism. Because when we receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we will automatically reign in life. Hey. But you've got to receive God's grace. You can't achieve it. Are you still at Romans 5?
Yep.
Have a look at verse 1. How can we receive God's grace? How do we do it? It's by faith. It's by faith we receive abundance of grace. Romans 5, verse 1 and verse 2, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So notice there in verse 2, it says, we have access by faith into what? Into the grace. How can we receive abundance of grace? It's by faith. It's by faith we have access into the grace. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Les? God's grace has provided everything that we need. By faith, we receive what God has provided. How do we do that? We just accept what God has said about the situation. We become fully persuaded. You know, faith is being fully persuaded that what God says is true. So how do you receive protection? Is it confessing Psalm 91 three times a day and then God has to move in your life? No. You receive God's grace. Remember, everything, every blessing of God comes by grace. You receive God's grace, you don't achieve it. How do you receive protection? You become fully persuaded that what God says is true about protection. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge and my shield, my stronghold. You know, when you believe that, you become fully persuaded, you automatically experience protection. Now, am I saying don't confess the word? No, I'm not saying that at all. But don't try to work your way into the things that God is providing by grace. You receive God's grace. You don't achieve. How do you receive provision? Do you tithe and sow in an effort to earn provision? No way. You do that, that's a surefire way of not receiving God's blessing on your life. Some people live in fear, like, man, you know, if I don't tithe, God's going to get me, you know. Like, if I don't give, you know, and you know what I have to say about that. Don't tithe. Do not give. Don't do it until you see it in the Word of God. And then act on it. You receive God's grace. So provision comes when you become fully persuaded that what God says is true about provision. And then when you become fully persuaded, then you act on that. Of course you give. Faith without works is dead. But don't try to give in an effort to get. Give because you believe God wants to provide. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How do you receive healing? Do you act healed in the hope that you get healed? No. You're trying to achieve what God wants you to receive. Don't ever try to act healed hoping that you're going to get healed. You act healed when you are fully persuaded that healing is yours. And if you're not fully persuaded, there's no condemnation. Just spend more time with God. And then eventually you'll come to a place and you go, yep, that's mine. Bless God, what am I doing sitting around? Or what am I doing allowing this thing to stop me from doing things? I'm healed. And your body's saying, you're not healed. But see, you see it then. Then you can act. Don't try to act in the hope that you can get. Act because you believe it's yours. Can you? I hope you're kind of seeing the difference. We have to receive what God wants to give us, not try to achieve. We do things. We often get into this habit where we want to do in order to get. Hey, this guy Arthur Mengetti's during the week. He's saying, don't get stuck in religious doo-doo. You're just doing and doing. You're hoping that if I can do this and if I can do, I'll say my confessions, I'll memorize my scriptures and I'll pray and I'll read and I'll give my tithes and I'll do all of this. And then God's got to move in my life then. He has to. No, you're still trying to achieve what God wants you to receive. I hope you're starting to see some things here. How do you get saved? Do you have to fast for 3 days to get saved? No, you don't. Do you have to read 100 chapters of the Bible? No. Do you have to recite the book of Leviticus in the original Hebrew? No, you don't have to do that. Do you have to pray on your knees for so many hours and then you're going to be saved? No. But you hear about this. You know, like it's not so much in a lot of the Word of Faith circles, not to that extreme. But there are still kind of like these tentacles that come out of legalism, even in Word of Faith circles. Like, you've been confessing the Word? You go to something, oh, just believe with me, I'm just having some real financial problems here like that. You've been tithing? Yeah, well, no wonder. Trying to tie it in to our works. God wants to bless you regardless of what you do. But when you see what God wants to do, then you begin to act in line with what He tells you. Are you seeing? You may need to listen back on this and just kind of allow that to meditate through. And how do you get saved? You become persuaded that what God said about salvation in Christ is true, and then you call on His name, knowing that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You just receive what God wants to make available. You know, grace makes and faith takes. God wants to give us, and He has given us everything by grace. How do we receive it? It's by faith. And it's important to understand the relationship of these two things. Faith takes what grace makes. If you're believing God to be successful at robbing banks, you will not experience the blessing of God because you're trying to use your faith to take something that grace hasn't made. God, by grace, has not made provision for you to be successful at robbing banks. So you can't take it. You know, like, I don't know if you remember the story. Some of you have heard the story. It's a true story about a lady that, when the Word of Faith was really taking off in the 70s, this lady had a Bible college in Fort Worth. And she was teaching the students about the Word of Faith, and she was teaching people about Mark 11, 23 and 24. Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but he believes that what he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. And then Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So she was teaching us, she had been meditating on these things and teaching the students, and she got her students together and she said, you know, this scripture, it says, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. She said, I've been thinking about this for a while. He says, whatever things. Is there any limit, students? She was talking to students. Is there any limit to what we can, did Jesus say, except for these things? And he said, no. Oh, he said, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe. She said, so I've made a decision. I've been praying about this. She said, I have decided that I'm going to marry Kenneth Copeland. His ministry was really taking off. She said, I've decided I'm going to marry Kenneth Copeland. She said, we're going to have a wedding before this year is up. And she set a date. And they said, well, how can you do that? And she said, well, the scripture says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. She said, so I've decided. I'm going to marry Kenneth Copeland. Well, it was just one problem. He was already married. But she had a fix for that. She said, I'm just going to curse Gloria to die. I'll just curse her to die and then I'll marry Kenneth Copeland because I can have whatever things I desire and that's what I desire. So then it came to the wedding day. She was in her wedding gown. Kenneth didn't get the memo. So she had the wedding. And she just married Kenneth in the spirit. And that was 50 years ago almost. And Gloria is alive and well, and Kenneth and Gloria are doing really, really well. Why didn't that work? Because faith can only take what grace makes. God didn't by grace make provision for you and I to have any person we want. Especially if that person's married. Grace makes the blessings of God. Faith takes the blessings of God. Let me give you a little demonstration. I'm going to need some help. Josh, I'll get you to come out. And Ben, would you come out? And Jono, would you come out? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Jono, I'll get you to stand over here. And yeah, so Josh, yep, Josh and Ben, that's good. So now Josh is a typical believer, loves the Lord, just wants to learn how to walk with Him, how to please Him, how to hear from Him, how to receive from Him. He's your typical believer. Now, God has made two things for every believer. He's given us His faith, and Ben is a picture of faith. All right? Show us your muscles, Ben. Faith is like spiritual. Oh, look. Do that again. I'm standing here, eh? But, yeah, so He's faith. And faith is like the servant of the believer. Remember Jesus, when the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And He said, you know, if you had faith just as big as a seed, you could tell this mulberry tree to be uprooted. And He said, but which of you having a servant who's out ploughing the field would tell that servant to come in and rest and have a feed? And, no, you tell the servant, get it all done and then you make me some food. And He was talking about faith. Faith is your servant in the field. Ben is a picture of the faith of God that He has given to Josh. He's your servant. This is your faith servant. And faith takes what God's grace makes. So now Jono is a picture of the grace of God. Yep, grace is cool. Hallelujah. And God, by His grace, makes things available to every believer, including Josh. So God, by His grace, makes available healing. Show them the healing that you have. He also makes available, by His grace, finances. Everybody see that? Finances. He also makes available, by His grace, peace. He also makes available by His grace wisdom. He also makes available new jobs by grace. Promotions. He makes available victory by grace. Grace makes all of these things. But you've got to receive it. You have to receive it. How do you receive what God has made by grace? Faith. Remember it says, it's by faith we have access into this grace. So what Josh does is he prays and he believes and releases his faith. So let's say Josh is believing for healing. Get healing ready, Grace. So he's believing for healing. And so he prays in faith and he says, Lord, I'm believing for healing. And when he does that, it releases his faith, which is his servant, to go and get healing. Grace makes, faith takes. How do you receive abundance of grace? It's by faith. So then Josh is in a situation and he needs the wisdom of God and he doesn't know what to do about it. And he knows that the Bible says, you know, anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally without holding back. So he prays in faith because it says, let him ask in faith. So he prays in faith and he believes and he doesn't doubt. And he says, God, I believe you've given me the answer to it. And when he does that, he's released his faith to get him the wisdom, the answer to the question. Well, you're getting tired, eh? Hallelujah. See, that wisdom was always there. It was always, grace always had the wisdom. Grace always had the healing. Grace always had the victory. It's all there, but it's no good there. You want it in your life. How do you get it? It's by faith. Grace makes, faith takes. If you want to experience what God has given, and it's all there, you've got to release your faith. What's so amazing about grace? Everything that we need is all there. Everything we need, it's all there. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to try to earn it. In fact, it's all there and it'll empower us. It's because it's the enabling power of God that'll come in our life. All we've got to do is release our faith, and our faith is like our servant. You know, like, let's say you believe in God for something. It could be like Josh, he's believing for, say, with the healing. And it's like the symptoms in your body, you're just like raging and your body's screaming at you. That's when you don't call your servant in. When Jesus is saying, which of you having a servant who's plowing the field, what's a servant plowing the field for? He's getting ready for the harvest. He's preparing the harvest of your future. And Jesus said, you're not going to call that servant in. Let him stay out there. Let him finish his job. And when he comes in, then he can prepare you something to eat. How do you bring your servant in? What you do is you start talking in line with what your body's saying rather than what God has said to you. Oh man, you know, the doctors are just, they reckon there's just no cure to this. I just don't know. I just don't know. Everything I do just makes this worse and makes it worse and it makes it worse. What are you doing? You're telling your servant, come in. Come in. You're not giving your servant any work. Grace makes, faith takes. We receive abundance by grace by releasing our faith. We just become persuaded. We just say, well, God, there's been hundreds and hundreds of times where I've had answers to prayer, but I have had no idea how it was going to come. And I've said that to the Lord. I don't know how this is going to happen, but you promised this to me, so I'm trusting you. What happens when you do that? You release your servant to go and bring it, and it'll go and take it from grace and bring it and manifest it in your life. Instead of saying, well, you know, look, there's no way that's going to happen. I mean, like, this is what the economists have said, and, you know, they're already talking about laying people off in my work, and so what's the point? You're tying up your servant. You're taking him off the field. Hallelujah. Amen. Give these guys a round of applause. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Did you get something out of that this morning? Grace is so amazing. It is God's enabling power. Let that enabling power, let come into His throne room and receive His enabling power. And how do you do that? You just say, well, God, that's what you want to give me, so I accept that. I don't understand how that's going to work, but you said it, I accept that. And when your circumstances are saying, it's not working, that's when you just begin to laugh and go, ha, ha, ha. You don't move me. You don't convince me. My God is true to His word, and He has said this is mine, therefore it's mine. What are you doing? You're empowering your servant to go and bring it. Just keep him out there. Just keep your faith out there. Keep the servant working. He'll bring it to pass. It'll come to pass.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.